This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm super glad you're joining us tonight. We've got a fun show. Of course, we're going to have New York Times best-selling author and my good friend, Rita Mae Brown, on the show. Of course, we're going to talk about Rita Mae and Sneaky Pie Brown's latest in the Mrs. Murphy mystery series, Clawed and Dangerous. So we're going to learn more about the book, the ins and outs, maybe some of the new characters, what's going on. And then, of course, we'll pick the brain of the mastermind herself, Rita Mae, and how do you become a best-selling author. So we won't let her off the hook until she tells us all of our secrets. So everybody, hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is New York Times bestselling author and my good friend, Rita Mae Brown. Rita Mae, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes, it's very good to hear. I'm always excited when your latest comes across my desk. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be good for two reasons, because it's going to be an outstanding book. And I want to know all about the latest, Clawed and Dangerous. And then, of course, I love talking to you about books, life, writing, research, and any other thing we can get off topic on is fine with us.
Okay.
So tell us about the latest in the Mrs. Murphy mystery series, Clawed and Dangerous.
Well, you know, I wanted to write about crime that is around us every day that we don't see. And I think I hit it. And doing a little bit of the research for it was very unnerving. I don't want to give it away. But we literally are surrounded by crimes we don't identify. Part of the reason is sometimes it plays to our prejudices, so we dismiss things. Other times, let's say we don't have that particular addiction. In this case, I wouldn't say it's an addiction, but it can be close. So you miss it. And that's what this book is about. And of course, it ends with Halloween. I had a lot of fun with that. But I don't know. I mean, the older I get, the more I realize there's a lot I just don't know.
And there's probably, if you're like me, a lot you don't want to know. That's what I'm thinking.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, we you're calling. We're talking on the 21st, and Virginia is voting on its redistricting laws, and we don't know how it's turned out yet. But all these kind of things, you know, every census we go through this, we go through the gerrymandering. This time, it's happening like 2 years after the census, so that's odd, and it's created maybe more emotion than there needs to be.
Yeah, it is that way all the way around. We were speaking to a gentleman who's running for one of our congressional seats in Georgia, and he has great background, great in politics, business, family life. He was former Navy fighter pilot. You know, he has all the good things, and he seems to be a nice guy that seems to have all the check boxes. And we were talking about, not to disclose names or anything, but we have an existing congressman in our particular area that he got beat the first time around, so they redistrict everything. He ran again against somebody else. He got beat that time too. Then finally, they jigged up things around one more time where he finally got in. And I think it was more because they got tired of seeing his name on the billboard signs than anything else. So all these things are around us going on. So let me ask you then, how does that parlay into this particular book, Clawed and Dangerous, looking for things and crimes and things around us that are there, but we don't always see them or make ourselves aware of them?
Right. Fortunately, nobody's running for office in this particular book, but there's an odd death. It starts with an odd death, a fellow painting the side of a barn, and they realize that he was murdered, you know, because he was dragged off, and the dogs find him, of course, the wonderful animals in the Sneaky Pie series. But nobody can understand why. I mean, the only thing that ever occurred was he had to go to rehab in his youth. He did have some addictive behavior. So people thought, was he back on drugs? But it wasn't in his system. So nobody can figure it out. And then, of course, a little later, a similar murder occurs. No one that is, quote, important in the community, somebody that's rather poor, but it's the same means of death. So that's what kicks it off. And all of these things are connected, of course. And I sort of have fun doing that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm rural. I mean, you're not. But, we have a lot of orchards. We have vineyards and this and that. And so we have immigrants. So one of the first thoughts is this an immigration problem? Not exactly. But it is a problem with people you don't see. They're in front of you, but you don't see them.
That's an interesting take on things, because you're right. I mean, even your community, I'm sure, would you say it stays fairly stable, or is it constantly changing as far as the people, the demographics, and the activity around you?
Well, it's pretty stable. But Tim, again, because we have so many orchards and vineyards, the immigration stuff is difficult. For you to bring in an immigrant, you know, somebody that you bring in and get a green card or do whatever, that costs you about $10,000 or $15,000 per head. People don't realize how expensive it is. And most people, they do their best. They try to do it legally, but there are always illegals there, which help. You know, they're under the radar, and you hope you don't get caught. Do we have it here? Yes, we do. I mean, we don't have it, let's say, to the level of New Mexico, Arizona, and California, but we have it. And as those people are sent back, of course, productivity drops disastrously. So what are you going to do? And
yes.
That's something I had to look at. And of course, that's one of the first things that people think of. Because again, they're all rural people. Harry, your lead, and her best friend, and their husbands, they're rural people. Although the one is at the House of Delegates, but that's not it. But again, it's right in front of them. But it just fascinates me what we don't see.
Yeah, you know, and that's a very interesting take, because, you know, obviously we've known each other for a while, and obviously I know a lot about the series, and I know you pull a lot from what you see around you or some of the activities, things going around you, but you also love and are excellent at researching the past, you know, going back deep in the archives of the past. So in this particular book, how did you make that decision on, I want to look, sort of bring to light some of the things around us and wake people up and mold that into the book compared to digging into some maybe the more pastimes?
Has this, shall we say, I don't want to say it's a problem / necessity. Has it always been with us? Yes. I mean, even people like Henry Clay were part of this in a way. But today it's different. It's a different set of people, number one. So, shall we say, polite people can miss it. But there it is. We're in the middle of it. And I look around, and one of the things, again, you know, I say this every time we talk, but I was a classics minor, Greek and Latin. And so I've read a lot of this stuff from the beginning. And Tim, we don't change. We're like horses and dogs. We don't change, but we think we have. But the human animal will always be the human animal.
That's a fascinating take on it, for sure. Because it does, you know, it's sort of the old saying of what goes around comes around. And when it comes to people, you know, the things happening around us may change slightly, but we tend to react accordingly.
Right. We have quick tempers. Often we defend our territory. We're very territorial as an animal. And we have to be, because we have to eat. You know, if your food is limited and somebody comes into your territory, that's an enemy. And we still have that. You know, we may dress it up, but we still have it. And now not just eating oil, water, all of those things are things we defend or steal in plain words. And that's fascinating to me, but we dress it up. But it's no different, you know, it's really no different at all.
It sort of brings to mind, we have these wonderful birdhouses all around our backyard and the corners up by the windows and all this wonderful stuff. And we have a fantastic little bluebird house in the very far corner of the property. And every year they come by and they, you know, they build a nest and they have their nice young bluebirds, which is fantastic. But bluebirds are very aggressive. Everybody thinks they're, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs type things. And no, they're very territorial. They're very aggressive. And I've got the male bluebird right now who sits on the perch and bounces his head against one of our windows all day long. He's trying to protect his territory. He thinks the reflection is another bird, so he's going to go attack it. And this goes on all day. He doesn't do it enough to hurt himself, but every about 2 minutes, you hear a poop. Oh, dang. Boop, dunk, dang. So the long and short of it is he's very territorial. He doesn't change. And he's constantly beating his head against a wall. And I think that maybe explains the human race as a whole.
I think it probably does. I mean, it does fascinate me how we change it. A lot of times we cover this aggression with religion. We say, well, we're supposed to do this, or if you're monotheistic, your one God has told you to do it. You're just following orders. If you have multiple gods, one of them has given you the order. But we can't admit what we do, and we can't admit that we're more comfortable when we're with people like us, particularly in America, because we're committed to diversity, and we are diverse. I mean, we've got everything in this country. We're not united by blood. You know, we're not like the Norwegians or the Saudis, where they're the same people. So we're united by documents, which makes us a little different. But it can make it much more difficult for us to reach conclusions. And in this particular book, the difficulty is not race or religion, but the difficulty is your gender. And gender gets us in a lot of trouble. And I'm not talking about transgender stuff. But if you assign a certain set of characteristics to one gender, you've already made problems. Because what happens if the other gender has a lot of those characteristics? And in this case, there's a drive. There's, well, money never hurts. But it gets people way off track.
And I love the fact that, you know, when I pick up one of your books, when we're talking about, you know, the Sneaky Pie Brown series, you know, the Mrs. Murphy mystery series, you know, I'm always intrigued by the storylines, the characters, who's coming and going, what they're doing, the fun parts of it, solving the mystery. All those are fantastic standalone. But as you and I are talking today, as well as we've talked many, many times in the past, I love how you tie in these little stories, these little history lessons, these little, hey, wake up and smell the roses type things blended in there, where it doesn't, to me, it doesn't hit you on the head. But if you're reading close enough, you pick up all those things and the messages you're trying to get across.
Well, you know, not that it really worked for this book, but I decided to reread Juvenal, who's a Roman satirist who wrote as the Republic died and the Empire was born. You know, the time of Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar. Well, anyway, it's dirt that's too good to be true. I mean, just absolutely delicious. And, you know, we're hampered by Puritanism. So their decadence is so beyond anything we could imagine. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, if only kids knew about, you know, by the time they get to the third year of Latin, they could actually read this. There would be hundreds of thousands of kids in America begging to learn Latin. But some of what Juvenal is writing about actually winds up in this book in a modern way. But I mean, I'll give you one example, which it's not exactly in the book, but it gets you to some of what's going on. He makes fun of a man that has died. It was very wealthy. And I think his name was Nitus or Nitus or something like that. But he does not leave his estate to his beautiful wife, who's much younger, which, of course, that doesn't change. but they had a threesome and his male lover lived with him and they all were together. So he left the money to the very handsome young male lover. And all of Rome is a Twitter over it, not because it was a threesome, but because he left it to the man and not the woman. And I read this stuff and I think this is just too absolutely wonderful.
Once again, indirectly in many ways, you could probably find the same situation today in our society, or at least turn on your streaming network. I'm sure there's some television show or something out there that is depicting the same thing.
Well, let's just say Claude and Dangerous. We glance at it. There it is.
Yeah. As I roll my eyes for you, even considering in a breath that our youth of today would want to learn Latin or any of the other languages, they probably don't know even Greek unless they join a fraternity or sorority when they're at university. So,
you know, it's kind of scary because it's the beginning of our entire culture.
Yeah, it is. It's a total change of society. I was talking to some early 20s people that I know and was just quizzing them on things that definitely made me sound way too old. But I was asking if they could read a wall clock that wasn't digitized, you know, didn't have digital numbers on it. And they said, no, the one right behind me on the wall, I really don't understand it because it has these different numbers on it. I said, you mean Roman numerals? And they're like, yeah, I guess. And I thought, oh, this is a joke. They're just, you know, they're pulling my leg here. And they didn't. They didn't know how to read a wall clock that had Roman numerals on it. So
unfortunately, sooner or later, they'll pay for it.
Yeah, they will. They will. It's just a funny thing. I know in our area where I live, certain schools have decided to bring back cursive writing. And they're all giddy about it, that we're teaching our kids cursive writing and script. And I thought, oh my gosh, A, when did we stop doing that? And B, why did we stop doing that? So I digress.
Well, how can you do original research if you don't know cursive? Like when I remember when I was years ago doing the book on Dolly Madison, just called Dolly, and I was reading her letters to her sisters. Well, it's all cursive. And you can say, well, I can get it on a computer. It's not the same. I read letters that she had cried writing and the teardrops were on the letters. I'll never get that on a computer.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. AI can't generate that. That's for sure.
Well, AI can sure generate a lot of stuff that isn't true.
That's true. Some of the AI stuff's been very kind to me, giving me credit for things that I haven't done. So I guess I'll stay quiet until somebody calls me on it. Thank you, AI.
You know, it's funny we're talking about this. One of the things that I've never really written about, and I don't know if I can, are these people that breed dogs. You know, just breed them for money and wear them out and then throw the animals out when they're not breeding anymore, or you're not, the girls get too old, or the boys aren't doing the job anymore. I mean, it is so incredibly cruel. Interestingly enough, our forebears didn't do that as we do with dogs and this and that. Occasionally they would do it with horses once horse racing, as we know it, really took off. But by and large, they were better to animals in some ways than we were, and worse than others. You know, like if you were a cart horse, or what is it? You always say, you know, if hard work made you rich, the donkey would own the farm. You know, so there were things like that. But that stuff like that, you know, that I think about doing, and I wonder, okay, again, how would you do the research? And then how would you present it? Because there are so many illicit ways to make money. I mean, what I'm writing about in this particular book is an illicit way to make money, and to make a lot of money, because remember, you don't pay taxes.
That's it.
You know, and like if we lived in California, half of our money would already be gone as taxes. So anything that you can profit by and not pay tax, you're going to do very well.
Absolutely. And some would say on your earlier comment, you know, donkey being the richest around, I'll just leave it at that, you know, because I think there's plenty of donkeys that are the richest around. That's all I'm going to say about that for today. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll continue our chat with my friend Rita Mae Brown and talk to her a little bit more about the latest in the Mrs. Murphy mystery series, Clawed and Dangerous, and then talk a little bit about riding in general. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continuing our conversation with New York Times bestselling author Rita Mae Brown, latest book in the Mrs. Murphy mystery series, Clawed and Dangerous. Now, Rita Mae, when people pick up a copy of this particular book, whether it's an existing fan, someone new to the series, what do you hope that they glean from it? Are you hoping that they just see it as a pure fun entertainment and love of these characters? Are you trying to get a message across, or is it somewhere in between?
When I write, mostly, the fear will know Aristophanes, who is the great Greek comic writer. But I start there, and everything Euripides, Aeschylus, Sophocles, Aristophanes wrote was very easy to understand. It was because it was for the masses. And I want to write books that are very easy to understand. I'm not there to tell you how smart I am. I want you to realize how smart you are. And so they're easy to understand. It takes you away from your troubles. Hopefully you'll relax a little bit. But if you want to learn something, you can learn something in every book I've ever written. I mean, including this one. But you don't have to. You don't want to, you don't have to. But I actually have a fairly good time writing, and I respect people that read because they don't want to realize it. But if you read books, you're an elite. Oh, no, I'm not an elite. Yes, you are. All throughout history, anybody that was literate was a mover and a shaker and knew more than the people around them. So if you can read, you're already ahead of the game. And our kids are graduating from school, and they're reading schools. Skills are dismal. Dismal. What's going to happen to them? If you're in business with a German or a Japanese or whatever, a lot of times their English skills are better than ours.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, their school systems often require them to learn at least one other language, if not learn English and some other language. And I think they have a better realization of the fact that, the English language is still spoken in more places than anywhere, so they need to learn these things. For us, it's more of a drudgery to if we have to learn another language that they should speak our language. How dare they? If we go to Germany, how dare they not speak English?
Right. One of the things that I loved about learning Latin and Greek, and I mean, I took French and a year of French, and I can't speak it. I mean, I just cannot get those words out of my mouth. But because of the Latin, I can sometimes read parts of it. But what I found fascinating, and I just can't understand that other people don't quite jump on this, is you can say things in another language you can't say in your own. So it expands your ability to grasp reality.
Very interesting. So, and learning more than just the bad words and the curse words would be critical, right? Too, I would think.
I mean, one of the things I learned in Latin, if you can always find the agent of change. You can always find out who did what to whom because of the way the language is structured. If they want you to know, it's super clear. If they don't want you to know, it's clear that they don't want you to know. We're trickier. We use passive voice to hide the agent of change. So most government documents in the United States are written in passive voice. Saigon was bombed at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, but they don't tell you bombed by who. And if you begin to realize these things, you realize you're being lied to. And that's one of the things that, I don't want to say that our bad guy in this book uses passive voice, but he's very, very clever. He's clever at redirecting your energy.
Nice.
I have fun with that. Again, I mean, I don't want to make too much of it, but if you want to learn something in my books, you can. And if not, you don't have to. But I just think people are overcommitted. They're tired. Politics has just worn them out. And in terms of politics, I would just be thrilled for a brief interlude of rationality.
Well, I think everybody wants that, but they don't want it or they're afraid to ask for it, I think is what we're looking at right now. It's always something new. And I always tell people, just stay away from the news. That's all I got to say. You'll live a happier life. That's for sure.
Well, instability breeds extremism. And that's where we are. And until more people come back to the middle and realize there are people that think differently than you and I do, we might not agree on everything. But if you have an opinion that's different than mine, I have to realize it comes from something real in your life, or it comes from a fear. So it would behoove me to listen to you. And that's what I think people are forgetting, is that, you know, these people say, oh, this is a MAGA nut, or oh, this is a woke nut. It comes from something real, and it has gotten pushed to an extreme, so no good can come from it.
Yeah. I would agree with that wholeheartedly, you know, and there's something in everything. If you want to really get to know someone, don't judge them by their politics or their religion or anything else. Just get to know their point of view and learn from it. Like you said, it may not be your point of view, but that's all right. It's all right. So when people pick up
one of the characters in this book, the first one that's murdered, you find out later, nobody really wanted him because of his addictions in the past. And so I think most men need women. Well, I think most women need men, and then there are those that want their own gender, but most people need someone in their life. And the way he found it was perhaps not ideal, but he did find it, and then he died for it, which you don't find out until the end. And I'm actually not giving it away because it all sort of makes sense when it's pulled together. But somebody would say, well, that's a loser. And I looked at him and I thought, well, that's somebody who did pull himself together, but at a high cost.
Nice. And if they want to know more about what really happens and get to know that character, they got to go pick up a copy of the book, Clawed and Dangerous, Reed Mae Brown, Sneaky Pie Brown, part of the Mrs. Murphy Mystery Series. So, Reed Mae, where can people find out more about you, your books, what you're going to be doing, all those wonderful things?
I don't know. How does the Speakers Bureau, but you know, Kim, all I'm doing is working my butt off. The drought, you know, we're struggling, you know, to get rain and the crop. I mean, if we don't get some rain, we're going to have crop difficulties. But where we're really struggling, and this gets me to politics, is I can't afford seed or fertilizer right now. My fertilizer bills went up 200%. Now they've dropped to 70%, and that's supposed to be an improvement.
My goodness.
So I'm working and struggling, and I'm a farmer. Neither party really cares about farmers. I think we all know that. But at least the Midwest, they sort of have to care more. But I'm in Virginia, and that agriculture is still our biggest moneymaker. And I wouldn't be surprised if not the number one biggest moneymaker in Georgia, the second biggest moneymaker. And that's also why I have a lot of fun with the Sneaky Pie books, because I can slip a few things in there about real country life.
That's it. And that's part of that learning experience too. So, you know, the characters are always fantastic. The existing characters and new ones you introduce, the mystery itself is always fantastic. And it's like you said, I always learn a lot. You know, I always look for, since I've known you for a while, I've been blessed with that. I always look for those little hidden gems in there that I know you eloquently fold into the fabric of an existing story with these existing characters. So I learn a lot as well as enjoy the heck out of it. How about that?
Well, thank you. I learn a lot from you. I mean, over the years, you know, talk about animals all the time because that's your dogs, my dogs and cats and all this and that and the horses. And it is just the joy of my life. And I am sure for your listeners, they're pets. I don't even think of them as pets. I think of them as my best friends for 4 feet. But the joy they bring to your life, and if you pay attention to them, they really do know more than we do.
Oh, absolutely. And they know how to manipulate it much better than we do, too, as my 10-pound little schnauzer's eyeballing me right now. So she knows how to get what she wants. That's for sure. Well, Rena Mae, it's always a pleasure. Everybody, go pick up a copy of the book. It's part of the Mrs. Murphy mystery series, Rena Mae Brown and Sneaky Pie Brown. It's called Clawed and Dangerous. And, of course, you can pick up all the books of the series at your local independent stores or wherever you like to buy books most. And we'll post RenaMaeBrownBooks.com. It's a place you can go to as well to find out more about Rena Mae and all the wonderful stuff that she's got out there. So, my dear, pleasure as always chatting with you and learning from you and just enjoying being with you, even though we're miles apart. You're always there with me. So I do appreciate it. And I'll look forward to chatting with you again down the road shortly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're coming into the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making the show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, you can go to PetLifeRadio.com and we'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia of barking fun. It's at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.